J'espère que vous êtes bien à notre écoute. Notre lunchtime en anglais continue avec la chronique Breaking Glass de Dennis Brough.
This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, Breaking Glass at Series, previewing the latest in European television that will soon be crossing the pond. Today's episode, European public broadcasters versus American streaming services, Bambi versus Godzilla. The Americans are coming. The Americans are coming. This is the cry of alarm of European broadcasters, the majority of whom are part of publicly owned TV. We're trying to figure out how they can compete with first Netflix and Amazon, but by the end of the year, just in time for faster streaming on more devices on an enhanced 5G network, Disney Plus, which also owns the majority stake in Hulu, AT&T Time Warner, NBC Universal, Apple, and Facebook. If this Big Eight is starting to sound like the old Hollywood studio system with its Big Five and Little Three studios, that's because the attempt to monopolize the market is very similar. Netflix, which now has indeed gone global with over half of its profits and subscribers coming from outside the US, is also behaving more like a traditional television network, having just canceled three of its series prematurely, with two of the series it pulled the plug on having actual social content. Chambers, canceled after one short season, where the complaint was that it was unfocused, instead was sharply focused on class tensions in the Sedona area of Arizona, where upper middle class Mi generation Sufism was exposed in the series as simply another mode of privileged behavior, because viewed from the perspective of its half-African, half-Native American heroine, who was being tortured by a spirituality, which was really class privilege. One Day at a Time, in the 70s, a Norman Lear show about a single white mother raising a family, and here reimagined as a charming sitcom about a Hispanic mom anchoring three generations in her apartment, was canceled after three seasons, with Netflix then refusing to let CBS All Access pick up the show because it would then be a streaming service competitor. These recent Netflix cancellations proved that just as with the networks of old, progressive social content, far from being given a break or encouraged, needs to justify itself in the ratings, or the new version of ratings, the algorithms, or it will be extinguished. The dominant force in television in Europe and at the Series conference in Fontainebleau with public-owned stations, and it's they that are under attack by this coming onslaught in a number of ways. First, as has often been detailed here, with Netflix attempting to whittle down their ratings, and in the case of Canal Plus, the French pay-per-view network equivalent to HBO in the US, encroach on their subscribers. And indeed, Netflix now has more subscribers in France than Canal Plus. This is important because 12.5% of the Canal Plus revenue is mandated to fund French film and television, as well as global production. And this money is behind some of the most progressive content in the world, along with Britain's Channel 4, also under attack. Fewer subscribers means less revenue and thus less support for the French industry. Just prior to the conference, the British writer, notably of Wolf Hall, Peter Kosminski, called for a tax on the streaming services to make up for the lost revenue. France and Germany have a nominal 2.5 to 3% tax, but the solution is to tax these services at the 12.5% rate. Netflix's argument is instead that they are financing European production with their own creations, pointing, for example, to their new center in Madrid as proof of their serious intent. Sounds benevolent. It's not. They are now required by law to have 30% of their productions in Europe be European. And the kind of productions they promote tend to be either Euro-pudding one-size-fits-all series or dumbed-down blockbusters, can you say Marseille, that are generally detested in their local region. What is happening with the streaming services is happening, of course, with the digital economy in general, with the FANGs, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google, now monopolizing a larger portion of online life and behavior to be used as data to sell to advertisers and attract subscribers. France this week, ahead of the EU, is now proposing to tax the FANGs, and Trump is threatening to retaliate since under what might be called the Trump Doctrine, any attempt by any other country to curtail U.S. dominance is a threat to national security. The Americans Netflix and HBO, with Game of Thrones most especially, are also driving up the cost of production, attempting to short-circuit the local public competition, which cannot keep up financially, since the streaming services are drawing on global revenue, which outmatches any single country. Whereas an average series episode cost $1.57 million 3 years ago, an episode in the wake of Game of Thrones and Westworld now costs $2.5 million, with production costs more than doubling over the past decade. Both Canada and Australia are now complaining that while Netflix originally was a godsend and simply a participant in the television ecological landscape, American-led streaming service production is now taking over. Production volume in Canada, for example, has increased 33% in the last 5 years, from almost 6 to almost 9 billion. However, only 47% of that production is local, as opposed to 65% 5 years ago. In Australia, meanwhile, only 2% of the content on Netflix is Australian. So the country, with its plentiful natural resources and cheaper labor, is being used as a backlot for the streaming service. Netflix also, like the Hollywood studios of old, is stealing talent that might have stayed on public television. David Attenborough, whose nature series was a BBC pivot, has now moved to the streaming service, where his Our Planet is a huge hit. At the conference, we saw two coping mechanisms, neither of which seems like they will be successful. France Television previewed a series, Une Belle Histoire, a dramedy with a supercharged opening which adds a new wrinkle to removing key characters early in the series and an eerie mountain climbing scene, but which then seems to settle into being warmed over This Is Us, which is really just middle-class self-congratulatory fluff. A far more effective way of challenging the streaming services is now playing on French TV, and that is a series titled Jeu d'Influence, or Game of Influence, by far the best series of this year, and which hopefully will be available in the American and British markets soon. The series is a thinly veiled swipe at Monsanto and its allegedly cancer-causing best-selling pesticide, as a legislature with a conscience reacts to the poisoning of his farmer friend by attempting to ban the substance. The series details the way murder and all kinds of nefarious deeds, including drugging and branding as insane a teenager who pursues the murder of her whistleblower father, are part of the effort, which includes the legal pressures of lobbying to falsify the truth to keep the product on the market. The series couldn't be more topical and important, as Monsanto is pulling out all the stops to keep the European Union from banning its number one seller, glyphosate, including suppressing reports the company itself commissioned. And as in France, Macron attempts to stonewall legislation so the product can stay on the market for another 3 years. A worse coping strategy was unveiled by the other leading public broadcaster in Europe, Danish TV, called the DR. The station was home to such series as The Killing, The Bridge, and Borgen, all of whom have been adapted in other countries. But a right-wing attack on the station's funding, because it is also fiercely independent and critical of the government, caused the writers to leave to set up their own company. With now a lack of funds and talent, programmer Christian Rank has chosen to tell what he calls local human stories. But this language covers a conservative sensationalist turn by the station, with one series, Deliver Us, actually a veiled attack on immigrants as a small town conspires to kill a rabble-rouser, and When the Dust Settles, a fear-mongering series about a terrorist attack. Nevertheless, three series at the festival were worth cheering and will be coming your way soon. Floodlands, a Belgium-Netherlands co-production with a lead Afro-Dutch cop whose subject is cooperation and tensions in the border region between the two countries as the detective investigates the brutalization of a young African girl. The shared border culture of the series details remind us that the residents on both sides of the U.S.-Mexican border similarly cooperate and oppose Trump's wall. Equally stunning was a beyond kinetic action sequence unveiled at the festival in the upcoming Gangs of London for HBO Sky Atlantic. The series illustrates the way London and its financial center, the City, survived the 2008 financial crisis by greatly increasing its global lead in money laundering, here for a London gang. The series is directed by Gareth Evans, who crafted The Road 1 and 2 from Indonesia. He brings the same beyond frantic pace to this series about a black Londoner's rise in the gang. Finally, there is The Magnificent Back to Life on BBC Three, and hopefully soon on BBC America. Daisy Haggard, who created and stars in the series, is an alumni of Episodes, a brutal and vicious satire of the American television business. Like Stephen Mangan, also from Episodes, who then went on to create the very funny Hang-Ups, her sense of humor is slyly underplayed. As a woman who returns from prison to the town where the crime she is accused of being committed and must face the town's resentment. Much funnier, because more socially grounded than the merely frivolous, the unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And in terms of examining small town prejudice with a dramatic way to rectify, this stunning series, with a sad and hilarious opening job interview that recalls the opening of Girls, points the way, along with Game of Influence, to how European public television can combat the increasingly more insipid fare of the streaming services. This is Bro on the Global Television Beat, signing off from Fontainebleau at Series 2019.
Dennis Bro is the author of Film Noir, American Workers and Postwar Hollywood, Class Crime and International Film Noir, and Maverick or How the West Was Lost. His current book, to be published in 2018, is Hyper-Industrialism and Television Seriality, The End of Leisure and the Birth of the Binge. C'était Breaking Glass de Dennis Bro sur Art District. Très bonne suite de nos programmes jazzistiques et artistiques à notre écoute.